Now, over the last few months, the issue of fake news has hit the media. Facebook and Google have both been under fire after several suggestions were made that some of their stories on their websites, actually, rather than being real news, were fake news. Along, of course, with the suggestion that fake news could have influenced the outcome of the US election. Apparently, the top fake election stories were shared more on Facebook than the top genuine election stories. Meanwhile, the Oxford Dictionary has named post-truth its word of the year. The term describes circumstances in which facts are less important to people than stories which appeal to their emotions or personal beliefs, even though the facts themselves may not be true. In other words, if something feels right, if something says what I want it to say, then regardless of whether it's true or not, that is what I'm going to believe. Well, I simply want to ask the question in these next few minutes, is Christmas simply another fake news story? Is it simply another post-truth concept? In other words, something which people believe not because it's true, but because we want it to be true, because it fits in with the way in which we think of the world and the way we want the world to be. So what we're going to do is look at that reading, the second one from Luke's Gospel. We've had it helpfully printed there on the order of service to help us to understand what was really going on that first Christmas when Jesus Christ was born. After all, I take it that's one of the reasons we've come to a lunchtime carol service, to think together about what Christmas is really all about. So notice, firstly, will you, that Christmas is real news, not fake news. You may know that Luke, who wrote Luke's Gospel, is generally regarded as an excellent historian. He's put together what he describes as a carefully ordered account using eyewitness testimony. This reading here that's on the service sheets anchors the birth of Jesus Christ at a time when Caesar Augustus was Roman emperor, when Quirinius was the Roman governor of Syria. As you read on in Luke's Gospel, you find that all the facts which he gives us about important people of the time, Caiaphas the high priest, King Herod, Pontius Pilate, and others, are all confirmed by the ancient historians of the day, such as Tacitus and Josephus and others. In other words, these events really happened. Luke went to great lengths to ensure that what he is writing is accurate. That's why he begins his gospel by telling us the very reason he is writing is to give us certainty and confidence about Jesus Christ. In other words, Luke is writing, his language is the language of history, of facts, of certainty, of confidence. Now, there are, of course, plenty of myths surrounding Christmas. Luke, interestingly, makes no mention of an innkeeper, or a stable, or animals. Now, I take it that's pretty bad news if you're trying to organise a school nativity, because it means you don't have nearly enough parts to go round. Not to mention, of course, the big myth of Christmas, Father Christmas himself. I take it we're all grown up enough for me to say that. I'm sorry if that's not the case, but I take it I'm allowed to say that. A few years ago, the Guardian newspaper estimated that if every child who believed in Father Christmas was to receive a visit from him, then he would need 214,200 reindeer and have to travel at 650 miles per second to complete the job. Sadly, you see, there are many people who put Father Christmas in the realm, who put Jesus Christ in the realm of Father Christmas and the flying snowman. In other words, in the realm of myth. Whereas what Luke is establishing for us here in this reading throughout his gospel is that actually Jesus Christ is in the realm of history and facts, verifiable facts that happened. If you've read The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins, then I hope actually that one of the things you were disappointed with is that he simply fails to engage with the historical facts about Jesus. So Caesar Augustus, he really was the Roman emperor. Mary and Joseph, they really had a baby. They really went down to Bethlehem. The angels really appeared to these shepherds. The shepherds really saw, they really heard, they really made the news known to others. So what should our response be? Well, Luke tells us that when the shepherds heard the message of the angels, they said to each other, let's go and see if this is true. And I take it that we should do the same. And actually, Christmas is a great opportunity just to stop in the midst of all our busyness and to ask ourselves, have I really considered the facts? Because Christmas is real news, not fake news, the birth of Jesus Christ. But secondly, Luke is also telling us about a real saviour and not a fake saviour. Have a look again at that third paragraph, bottom of page 2 and halfway through verse number 10. But the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, when the lunar module from the Apollo 11 space mission landed on the moon on the 20th of July 1969, Neil Armstrong became the first human being to step on the moon with those now famous words, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But actually, what is being announced here by Luke is far more momentous than that. He is announcing God himself, the creator, stepping into space-time history, stepping onto our world. But you say, why did he come? Well, in the words of the angel, verse 11, to be a saviour. But of course, that begs the question, doesn't it? Why? What is it that we need to be saved from? And the Bible's answer in one word is sin. By which the Bible does not simply mean the kinds of things that appear on the front page of the tabloid newspapers. Rather, the attitude that is in each one of us that says, I don't want God to be God. We may still believe in God, or we may not. We may still go to church, or we may not. But it is saying, I will get on with my life, my way, without God. And of course, actually, the way in which our secular culture celebrates Christmas is a brilliant illustration of that, isn't it? All the focus on the presents, the decorations, the food, friends and family, watching telly, and then rushing off to the sales, both beforehand and afterwards. While the Saviour who is born, Christ the Lord, why, he hardly gets a look in. The problem of sin. But I've said that Christmas is about a real saviour and not a fake saviour, because throughout history, mankind has looked to human saviours and human solutions to the problems of the world. So Caesar Augustus himself, along with other Roman emperors, he was referred to in the propaganda of the Roman Empire of the day, he was referred to as saviour. And history shows the failure of human saviours. Just think of the last 100 years. In 1920, the League of Nations was set up to save the world from future global conflict. It failed. In 1946, the United Nations was set up and has scarcely done much better. In 1964, Julian Huxley wrote an essay, The New Divinity, arguing that actually human potential represented the greatest resource for solving the world's problems. In 1973, the Humanist Manifesto appealed to technology as the new saviour. As someone brought up in the 1980s, the answer then was free market economics. In the 1990s, it was the spread of democracy. In the 2000s, it was globalisation. And yet, with the economic crisis since 2008, with the Governor of the Bank of England last week speaking of Britain's first lost decade since the 1860s, not to mention the political route of Brexit and Trump and the referendum in Italy last week, which no doubt will spread who knows where in 2017. Now, I'm not making political comments, far from it. But it does beg the question, doesn't it? What is really wrong with our world? Surely the history of the last 100 years, not to mention hundreds of years previously, tells us there is far more wrong with our world simply than having the wrong political or economic structures in place, or not having harnessed technology as we might have done. It was G.K. Chesterton, one of the greatest writers of the 20th century, who, having received an inquiry sent out by the Times newspaper asking the question, what is wrong with the world, wrote the following letter to the editor. Dear sir, I am. Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. That, you see, is the Bible's diagnosis. All of us have turned our backs on God. That is what is wrong with the world, and we all face the judgment of God. Now, let's just pause there. Ask yourself, does the diagnosis fit? So I look at my own heart, and I say, yes, the diagnosis does fit. What about you? And it's why, then, this announcement of the birth of Jesus to be, verse 11, a saviour is such brilliant news. Because those little baby hands, when he was grown up, were nailed to a cross for us to take the punishment for our sin, that we might know the forgiveness of God and be at peace with God. That's why the angel celebrates by saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Now, I don't know what you've celebrated during the course of the last year. I guess as a country, the biggest celebrations were probably over the Olympics, weren't they? As day after day after day, medals just seem to fall into our laps. Or at least that's how it appeared to those of us who are watching the Olympics. I guess for those who are actually taking part, it is much harder than that. But just day after day, they kept on coming, didn't they? The country rejoicing. And it wasn't just the sitting down sports either. Well, here is something even more wonderful. What is being announced is the peace that Christmas brings. Peace with God for all those who trust in Jesus Christ. Peace with God in this life, peace with God in the next life. Christmas is about real news, not fake news. It's about the birth of a real saviour, not a fake saviour. Finally, will you notice one other thing the angel says? That the birth of Jesus is good news of great joy, end of verse 10, for all the people. For all people, all sorts of people. I think it's very easy to imagine that Christianity is only good news for some people, perhaps religious people, perhaps old people, perhaps good people, perhaps those who enjoy singing carols in beautiful buildings like this one. But if that's what we think, then we need to think again. These shepherds, they were rough working class men. And the angel says to them, this is good news for you. Because it's good news for all people of great joy. Now, I have no idea at all where you stand on all of this. It may be that you don't consider yourself a Christian at all, in which case we are delighted you are here. But can I encourage you not to dismiss the events of that first Christmas as fake news. Not to respond to it as post-truth. In other words, this doesn't really fit with my worldview. I find it challenging, so I'm not going to do anything about it. Can I encourage you instead to investigate? One of the things, if you turn to the back of the service sheet, one of the things the Moorgate Talks is doing in the new year is running, you'll see, a Christianity Explore course. An opportunity to examine the claims of the Christian faith over 7 lunchtimes in the new year. If you've never done that, we'd love you to do it. And of course, you're very welcome just to come along to the first one, and then if after the first one you don't think it's your thing, then that is fine. But I'd urge you to investigate. And especially if you've never investigated the claims of the Christian faith and done so as a consenting adult, so to speak. Of course, it may be that you're here this lunchtime and that you do consider yourself a Christian. But perhaps if you're honest, things are all a little bit hazy. And perhaps you think to yourself, well, actually, I long to have that certainty. I long to have that confidence that Luke speaks about. Well, again, that Christianity Explore course would be an excellent way of going over the basics again. Or perhaps you're here and you do know for sure, for certain, that Jesus is the Saviour Rescuer. In which case, may I wish you a very Jesus-centred Christmas. Let's have a few moments for reflection, and then we'll stand and sing our final carol.